personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leaf, who will help you get started in building your real estate empire. Grow your self-confidence, find your grit, and get the skills needed to dominate the real estate world. This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leaf.
Shifting from discrimination, we have a whole nother can of worms that employers are going to be having these days, landlords are going to be having these days, we're going to be having all over the industry. We had last week on, we had Dan Donovan from T&M Protection, and Dan was explaining us how we're going to open post-coronavirus. And Dan had all these ideas and things that were going on. And I got to tell you, I started shaking because I'm a lawyer and I always hear, you're going to get sued. I don't know if you heard, McConnell wants to have all this liability protection for people when they reopen. And I'm saying, what liability protection? So I walked next door to Morty Yankovich, my employment counsel, my law firm. And I said, Morty, who's going to get sued? What are they talking about? Morty, you're on the line. Morty Yankovich, my colleague, tell me what's going on.
How you doing, Andrew? So what's going on is when employers reopen, they have to be very careful that they don't violate OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Act. And basically what that does is it mandates that employers provide employees with a workplace that's free from recognized hazards.
Morty,
and
Morty.
I don't know if you saw, yeah.
We all know OSHA, but isn't that like construction? Like I'm talking about an office.
It could be offices too. I mean, if you know that there is a potential exposure risk in your office, and you're not taking adequate safety precautions, or you're not sending an employee home that's symptomatic, you can get a letter from OSHA.
And so OSHA enforces safety in the workplace, and do they give any guidance? They tell us what we're supposed to do? Like, or is this no man's land? How are we supposed to figure out what to do as an office?
So actually, OSHA just released a very extensive guidance on what to do to minimize exposure in the workplace. And you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but basically what they say is you need to first analyze the workspace and see where there is the potential for exposure, and then issue policies and enforce those policies in terms of social distancing, in terms of wearing PPEs, in terms of sanitation. And then you also need to have a policy in terms of what happens when an employee is symptomatic, and it needs to be enforced uniformly.
But Morty, Morty, I looked up this guidance too, and it's called Guidance on Preparing Workplaces for COVID-19. If you want to read it on your own, it's OSHA document 3990-03-2020. But here's the part I saw. On page one, it says no legal obligations. I highlighted that and I stopped reading because it says no legal obligations. So what are you talking about, Guy?
Yeah, you should read further because there's going to be another place that you're going to want to highlight. It references the general duty clause, which is what I referred to in the outset. And that is a law, and it obligates employers to provide a hazard-free workplace. So the fact that they issued this long guidance on coronavirus, and that they specifically reference the general duty clause, to me, that's law. So you can take off that highlighting, and you should treat that as law. And if you violate it, you can expect a letter from OSHA.
So I want to go into how this letter goes in a second, but what I want to really make clear and why I think it's so important that people can hear from an employment lawyer like yourself is just because the second line of the document from the government says no legal obligation, no new legal obligation, they're right. It's not new, but there is a legal obligation, so it's misleading. They really need to understand that this document matters. Am I getting you right?
Yes. I would definitely say it's misleading, to say the least.
So Morty, I operate a restaurant. Does this apply to me?
Yes.
I operate an office building. Does this apply to me?
Yes.
I operate a construction site. Does this apply to me?
Yes.
I operate a private school. Does this apply to me?
Correct.
So this applies to any business, really, is what I'm getting. And so you said that you could get a letter from OSHA. How does OSHA know? Do they have little Lauren, watch. There's OSHA in the corner. Is OSHA in my studio? Like, are they everywhere? Is the government watching me?
Do I send a letter to OSHA?
So what happens is an employee can complain to OSHA just like they can complain to the Department of Labor, or they can complain to the Human Rights Commission of discrimination. If they feel they're unsafe in the workplace, they complain to OSHA. And then OSHA will send you a letter that they're investigating, and they want you to conduct an internal investigation. And if there are hazards, you have to you have to fix them, and you have, if we're talking about here coronavirus, you need to limit, you need to mitigate any potential exposure, and then you have to send them a response. And if they are, if they aren't satisfied by the response, they might conduct further investigations, which might lead to an extensive penalty.
When you
monetary
say
monetary penalty,
you say monetary penalty. I don't speak monetary penalty. My question, really, though, is: I get this thing. I can just write up a response, right? Like I run an office. I could just be like, "You're wrong, stupid. Go away."
No, you need to know the specific provisions of OSHA, and you have to be very familiar with this guidance. So I would have an attorney prepare it with you. And make sure that whatever policies you have and what other steps you're taking in the office is compliant with the OSHA guidance and, you know, the statutory language of OSHA.
So beyond that, and beyond, what's my penalty? What's my penalty? What am I looking at? Do I care? Are they just going to give me a nonsense? What are we talking about here, Morty?
So according to OSHA, the minimum penalty for a violation is $7,000, and it can go up to $70,000. And the other place where employers can get into trouble is if an employee files a complaint with OSHA, and then they get a letter from OSHA, and they know the employee who the employee is that filed the complaint, and they go and they retaliate against them, then they can get a complaint filed against them by the employee in state or federal court or with an administrative agency. And you could look at, you could get very, very high damages for
retaliation.
Can you
give me a quick example of a violation?
Yeah, what's a violation? Are we talking about not having PPE? Are we talking about not training? What are we talking about?
Do I need antibacterial?
Yeah, I mean, I think any of those can constitute violations. So, for example, if you have public if you have public access to your office, are you taking precautions? Are you making sure people are wearing masks? Are you doing what you can to limit the presence in the workplace? For example, you know, some people can work from home.
So Morty,
yeah.
I want to read you my policy. I just wrote this for the office for when we reopen. I want to make sure you think we're okay. We wrote social distancing policy. We will stay in our offices. We will not meet you face to face. We will request that you email us or call to communicate. We only invite you in because we feel obliged. Just know that while you are here, we wish you to leave fast and stay alive. So while you are here, do not touch anything. Wear a mask. Do not use the restrooms or even pass gas. Thank you for wanting to live. What do you think? Am I good?
Well, I think for the public, that's a pretty strong message that they need to come in, say hello, and leave pretty quickly.
So, Morty,
you want to make sure that employees are adhering to your policies too.
Morty, I have a lot more questions about this. So what I have now is we're going to bring on a guest that is an architect, because OSHA and CDC says that there has to be distancing. There has to be 6 feet. And yeah. I don't understand how you're going to reallocate your space and make this happen. So we got this guest, Colin. He's going to be on the line in a second. We thank you, Morty. Thanks so much.
No problem, Andrew.
On the line, we have Colin Graham, who is the founder and CEO and an architect of Fast Office. This is the PropTech solution, it seems, to be able to meet these OSHA standards that we were discussing with Morty Yankovic. They're on the cutting edge of returning people to work. If you go on their website, they have just on the thing, safer space. I like safer space. They let you plan, edit, visualize the social distancing using 3D technology. It's amazing, because I've worked with some architects, Lauren, and they charge you thousands and thousands and takes forever.
And you can't even visualize it the same. There's nothing better than a PropTech company that can just show it to you. I just like to see it. Like, what is it really going to look like?
For people that don't know PropTech, that means property and technology together. It's like fintech is financial technology. So what Colin's done is he's married, as they've called it, the third wave of computing, both professional and technology. And this is very cool. Colin, can you just tell us what safer space means? It's on your website. It says safer space. What does that mean?
Of course. Thanks for the opportunity. For us, a safer space has been is a space that's been reconfigured to maximize the number of employees who can use the space safely, taking into account the evolving standards as they apply in the context of that particular space and its intended use. So what this means is that we apply the evolving standards in the best practices and do so as they continue to evolve over the next weeks, months, and beyond.
I get that completely, and it's smart that your finger's on the trigger and you're watching what the health people are telling us to do. But I want to go back to that statement you just said. You said the number of employees And on your site, when I go there, I'm seeing that there. What's your proposed headcount? What do you want as your headcount? And I'm a dummy. I don't know what a headcount should be. So can you give me some ideas of what we could fit safely in different spaces? Just so if I want to go open my office back up, I'm reading on Business Insider. Barclays CEO is saying crowded offices are going to be a thing of the past. So what I want to know is I want to be a thing of the future. What am I envisioning? Let's say I have 2,500 square feet.
Well, it's that again is an evolving, and the answer is evolving in that insofar as right now the standard seems to be around 6 feet that the CDC is recommending for commercial office uses. Obviously, this changes depending on the use. If you're in a medical circumstance, it could be much larger. But right now it's 6 feet, but we could see that evolve with ongoing research to be greater or less. So it could go as far as perhaps.
So your technology that will take that 6 feet and show you how to put your furniture in so it's spacing differently. I think that what I find so interesting is that I can see different desks or offices using that measurement, and your technology actually takes that measurement and creates an office space.
Correct.
Great.
So we have some automated tools at the moment and semi-automated tools that will place the furniture appropriately. But you can also see, just looking at the visualization of the space, where you have to either move furniture or more likely in the short term, remove chairs in order to create safe distancing.
Do you have furniture that we can get from you, Colin? Or like, let's say I have furniture, or I have a white box. I'm going to go open a new space. A lot of these big companies, they're saying we have to decentralize and make lots of small offices, because if we centralize and there's another pandemic, we're out of business. But if we so they're going to reopening these vanilla boxes all over. Do you supply furniture? Is that something someone could get from you?
Yes, absolutely. Built into our platform are most of the major manufacturers of commercial office furniture available currently, and it can be purchased directly off our site, or we can connect to the local distribution in any particular market. But that is definitely a feature of our
So just so platform. I understand, because this sounds really like a total solution to me, I tell you my square foot, you show me a plan. You can even get the furniture. It sounds like an all-in-one solution.
What does something like this cost? Like, what am I talking about? Again, I have 2,500 square feet. It's a big box. What do I do? What am I talking about as far as my expenses? I just want to have a vision.
Well, it depends on who's asking the question.
All right, so
we have a range of customers.
I'll answer you. I run an architectural studio just like you, Colin. So I'm an architect. I'm not, but I am, and I want to have a big architect. What am I looking at?
Well, in this case, with Fast Office, you don't actually need a big architect. If you're looking at a 2,500 square foot office, in fact, I would recommend that you just go with Fast Office, in that you can get your space laid out within hours, sometimes within 20 minutes, and complete with a full budget and the ability to finance all of your construction and furniture requirements.
Do you do the construction? Do you offer like bringing contractors in?
Well, we can bring the contractors in, but it's typically what we find is that the landlords have contractors that are already working within their buildings. They know exactly what it takes to build in that building, and they're probably your best bet. But
that makes
in
sense.
In many cases, we're also bringing contractors to the table.
So I want to hit this question again, because I'm just trying to understand. I've used architects before. They've made 3D layouts, and not like yours on the computer, like actually construction of them. And these prices are off the charts, but I'm reading on your site numbers in the hundreds, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. How much is it going to cost if I am going to go, let's say, rent 2,500 square feet? I want to go put a accounting office there, a professional office, or something like that. How much does it cost to work with Colin and Fast Office?
To work with Fast Office, you're correct. It amounts to numbers in the hundreds and not the thousands or tens of thousands, because we have automated tools that will allow you to lay out your requirements in real time and see the results, including recommended budgets. What we don't do is the construction. That $100 price tag is simply to be able to use our platform and our design tools and to get access to our team of professional architects and designers who are online and on call to help you with your work.
Colin, I think I'm in love. I want you to know, I think I'm in love with you right now. I think you're the best, because every person out there, we are talking to real estate investors, they're landlords, they're operators, and everyone out there is saying to themselves, how am I going to do this 6 feet thing? Like, it's almost impossible. And no one wants to spend $10,000, $5,000 on an architect and bring it in. And they're going to take weeks, and then there's going to be this and that. And how are you going to get the furniture? And they're going to do this. It's automated at Fast Office. So I just want everyone to know, you just go to Fast Office, this prop tech company right here. They can get you the furniture. They can do the layouts. We're talking hundreds of dollars, not thousands and thousands. It's going to be visual right in front of you. We thank Colin Graham and Fast Office for being with us.
This segment has been brought to you by the Bryn Elliott team of Douglas Elliman Real Estate.
This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lieb. Find us on social media at Listen to Lieb or visit listentolieb.com.